Morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Love Babs Love Talk. I'm Babs Earl Zivy. That's Harry Droz. It is Monday. Been a long weekend. It's been a very long weekend, I must say. It's been a long time since I've had a long and painful weekend, and this weekend was it. Although there were some bright spots in the weekend, I must say. So this is what I'm going to do, Harry. I'm going to lead with sad stuff, and then I'm going to go into not so sad stuff. How about that? I can get it out the way. Not right. Get it out the way, but you know, just let folks know where I'm at. Over the weekend, my nephew died. He was found unresponsive in the shower. They believe he had a heart attack. He was 31 years old. My very first nephew, very first baby, my youngest brother, Mike's son. So his nickname is Duda. We call him Duda. He's named after his father, but his nickname is Duda. That's how we call him. He just started a family as two very young children. Like one is like a month old and another one is not quite a year, I guess, or a little bit better than a year. And he was just starting his family. You know, he got a job and you know, all the things we say we want our young people to have. He was on the right path. And we were so proud and happy for him. And you know, he was in the world with living with his girlfriend and they were making plans and he died. And it was quite painful. Quite shocking. So much so that you know, you stand in these places of questioning God and intentions of God. And I never do that, Harry. But I find myself in a very precarious position as someone who has such a strong faith and such a real reverence for sacred text and language. And I just don't feel it right now. I feel very bereft, very angry, very disappointed. So that's where I'm at. It's going to take me a long time to sort of process this great loss. Seriously, process the loss. And I'm not in a good space for it right now. So the other part of this is,
let me just say my deepest condolences. Wow. That's shocking.
It is. Shocking. It is very shocking. Yeah. Very young. And you know, you just get so angry and you think about all the people who you could have just said, you know, take this person. Listen, you could have taken me because I had a long, big life at 58. Not long, but big enough. I've done enough. Oh, and I know, listen, don't get me wrong, Harry. My time is coming. my time is coming. So whether I offer it up or not, it's coming around to me anyway. So I get that. Stand that. I'm not trying to bargain. That's the point I'm making. I'm not trying to bargain. It's too late to bargain now. You have to bargain when there's a shred of hope that you do some saving, but this regard, I can't. So I was trying to decide whether or not I wanted to be talking about this morning, but you know, that's what I do. I talk. So here we are. I tell you what, though, I tell you what's very sort of providential. I went to see Tracy K. Smith, the poet. She was the former poet, U.S. poet laureate. And she was at Grace Farms. You know, Grace Farms, Harry, this hedge fund built beautiful place on the border, Connecticut border, New York line. So Andrew and I went to hear her speak. She has a new book out. And so we went and heard her, you know, give a talk. And she gave a talk. Her talk was on Field Notes on Time, And she talked a lot about the passing of her father. So it was very timely to me to hear her talk about passing of time and how we are in real time and the passing of time. So I was quite moved by that. So it just felt providential that I would hear a talk on death and our relationship to it and how close we are to it and how we are part of the living and part of the sending off of folks. So that was the providential. And you know, I had made this date with Andrew and I didn't want to cancel it because I was feeling sad or whatever. I actually thought it was quite helpful. So anyway, he and I went, we had a good time, dinner. We went to a Colombian restaurant for dinner. Because, you know, I start back my vegan life. Today's my first day of fasting, which is appropriate. The passing of my nephew. I guess, you know, I believe I quit God, Harry, today, yesterday, this weekend. I believe I have. But there are some sacred things that are in me. Like I had already planned to fast. I'd already planned this fasting this week. So I'm going to continue with that. I don't think I'm doing it for God. I think I'm just because I need some internal healing. And the fastest way to get there is with the fast. So that's what I'm doing. I'm going to fast. So today is the first day. So it'll be a water fast. Water. That kind of thing. And then we have our mouse problem is back. I caught a mouse this morning, like a mouse that was caught in a trap. A little one. I mean, you know, the weather is changing, Harry. They find their way in. But you would think with all the cats in this daggone neighborhood, wouldn't be a mouse anywhere. But I guess they're like, we get indoors so we can hide because we know these other things are out here on the prowl. So we just put another trap up. So that's where I'm in today. So yesterday I got to do a podcast with Ife. I went on the Elm City Lit Fest podcast. And, you know, we read poetry. And I hope she knows how good that made me feel yesterday. I read a Langston Hughes poem, lots of Nikki Giovanni poems. I just read a lot. We just talked about a lot of poetry, a poetry life. And it was just very relaxed. And it was quite healing for me. I needed to sort of, you know, poetry is a solace, is a balm, at least for me. I know you don't dig, yeah, or you kind of dig poetry, but it's not your first, So anyway, that's where I'm at. So I did that. And then I went over to my friend Kay's, got a fire pit, right? So we sat around the fire, ate yams, had some bread, drank some, you know, some spiked sorrel, warmed. It was good. Very, very good. Mother Yvonne gave me another batch, warm. Ready for. I just need some peace and quiet. I need, you know what? I need some place to be where there's no other people. I need to be away from people because I can't be at my house without people around. I have to find someplace else to go and spend time. That's what I need. I'm very social, but I don't feel very social.
You should take a couple of days of just silence. Go somewhere with just you.
Then I think about that, Harry. It's like, I want to do that either. I kind of like knowing that there, I could get access my. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out ways to sort of deal with this grief. They're making arrangements. I'm sure by this week I'll know what the arrangements are, and I'll go and say goodbye to my nephew. Is settling to me, but I'll do it. I lost my cousin a few months ago, you know, over the early part of the summer. We went and buried him, and we buried my nephew, and I guess, you know, Harry, I think the truth is, as sad as I am, life goes on. That we can't lose sight of that, I guess. And forgive all the people who are listening to me. I'm working this out as I go. Dr. Brown is coming on tomorrow, Harry, to talk about critical race theory, or as we like to call it, American history. So he's coming up. We're going to have a conversation about critical race theory, AKA American history. So he's coming on. We've got lots of guests this week. So it makes it okay. You know, we've got Dr. Brown tomorrow. I've got Elm Shakespeare Wednesday, Harry, because they're doing a production this weekend, which I'm excited about. Because, you know, we love Gracie Brown. Going to be her and a couple of other artists there. Gracie, who I adore. And then we don't have a guest on Thursday. And then we have New Haven OIC, Harry, on Friday. They're going to talk about their longstanding program, the program that helps people. So they're going to be on Friday. So we got some guests this week. Whoever else I could fit in. I'm doing the rounds today. I'm the guest for rounds at the hospital at Yale this afternoon, right? Talking about the Freed Woman Fund and what I'm wanting to do with that and just talking about I'm excited. So I got stuff to do. I'm going to do them. That's Monday. Welcome to Monday. Did you see, yeah, Harry? They found the remains of the airline executive. His remains. He went missing a year ago. They found him.
So, you know, Ife put up a red rose for you. Babs Alexander says, my condolences.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I do. That's, you know, that's the joy of having friends, Harry. That they just sort of, you know, my friend Rosanna called me last night, yesterday afternoon. Chatted for a while. Well, she let me cry. I don't know what chatting we did. And then my girlfriend in California, who they're on vacation, but she called me too and left me a long. She texted me and left me a long message and like, do you need a plane ticket to out here? Because they're in the desert. Where do you go in the desert, Harry? You know where the rat pack used to hang out.
Is it in Nevada?
Are they? Oh boy, they're somewhere. Tahoe. I think they're in Tahoe. I don't think it's Tahoe. Where? No. In the desert. Anyway, like, do you want to come? I was like, no, girl, I can't. Put up all the stakes. I got to sit right here. They're all right. Oh, she sent me this message. She was, you know, she's on a flight. And, you know, all these people are on these flights, Harry, flipping out about masks. They don't want to wear the mask. Why should they wear the mask? And, you know, my girlfriend is a terminal cancer patient. She has a lot of things, brain cancer, all kinds of cancers. So she depends on people, you know, got to depend on. She has a hella compromised immune system. So she needs people. Actually, people ought to mask up and robe up in her presence, right? But, you know, she can't make people wear robes on the plane. So, you know, people get on these planes, Harry, and they flip out because they don't want to wear the mask. That's where we are today.
I spend my Saturday with all my girls.
How was soccer?
Soccer, it was good. Bella scored a couple of goals and got a couple. Daisy was under the weather, so she didn't soccer, but.
Oh my gosh! Look at these little girls. Look at them, Harry. They're so beautiful. They look like little Karens.
So, yeah, it was a long Saturday. Soccer went, put up their Ring doorbell, which was quite a task because they didn't have any old doorbell, so there was no electrical component at the door. So I had to run a wire and stuff.
Harry the electrician.
So yeah. Did that, then I had to spend time in Bella's room, then spend time in Daisy's room. And then, you know, they didn't want me to leave. Oh, and then I spent time watching them play jumping into the leaves. All right. It was, Papa, watch me. Papa, Papa, come with me. Papa, come to my room. Papa, 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 Papa. That's all it was.
You can't spend too much time in each room.
You know, so, and then, I mean, Karen spent most of her time with the baby. Got the girls. Yeah, busy day. Back is killing me.
Lovely grandpapa.
But it was good.
Oh, I went to see Anastasia Friday night, which was really good, Harry. If you want to take the, you know, it might be a Bella thing. I don't know if Daisy could sit through it. She might. Yeah. If she likes singing and dancing, she will. It's pretty to look at. So They might enjoy it.
Daisy's my strange friend.
Because you're strange, Harry?
Because she'd be like, Papa, you want to watch Annabelle with me? No, Daisy. Watch Chucky with me? No.
Well, it's Halloween, Harry. You got to get one in. And then these words are terribly inappropriate.
I'm like, say, Papa, you want to watch The Little Mermaid with me? Or
I know. Like
that? But Chucky and Annabelle?
Like, no, girl, no. Little serial killer in the making.
Like, no.
But you know what?
She loves her Chucky, though. She wants her Annabelle.
Good for her that she likes all that stuff. I say, Harry, good for her.
Yeah, she was using. Hello.
Yeah. I'm sure she's ready. Is she a Halloween lover?
Yeah, you know, she likes to dress up.
And my tea bag is not teeing up for me today. It doesn't feel like tea, like just hot water. Got a good tea bag in here, too. Letting it sit long enough. Maybe I'm just like my mother. Bold. It's the end of the month, Harry. It has flown by. October, I will tell you, October sends me through the ringer. Trying not to hate it. Trying my best not to hate October. But it's giving me a run for my money. I think it's gonna have to go. I think I'm gonna have to start dreading October now. Like, oh, October, so much anxiety, and why? What about you, October? Then it'll be November. You know, the season of Thanksgiving.
Oh. I was trying to put that together. I said the
Lord.
A little slow here today.
Yeah, so I think I speed up. I think I'm gonna speed up where I'm gonna go next. I think, you know, I was thinking, where do I want to be next? I think I'm gonna make my moves, pack up and go somewhere else. That's not, I mean, around, not far around. So I really would love to live by the ocean. Sound good. Guilford or somewhere by the water, I think. To find myself a little something. We'll see. That's just, you know, that's today. Tomorrow to be.
I mean, there's a town, little town, you know, that is begging
people. I saw that. Town.
Yeah. It's like they'll give you $5,000 to go to that town. You don't got to work there. You could
telecommute.
Yeah, remote from wherever you work, but they're begging people. They said they have this instant grandparent program that they will babysit for you if you have kids. And wow, they really want people. I need to find a little town like that. It's like 1,200 people in the town.
Although I think 1,200 might be too small.
I think that's perfect, right? Because they're spread out. You really don't get to see them unless you go into town. But those towns don't even really have a green, right? They really don't have a downtown.
Yeah. I don't know, Harry. I think that might be a little too Mayberry-ish for me.
I know. But not for me. That'd be like perfect for me. I could remote in New Haven.
I think I could go smaller than New Haven, but not much. I think I could go a little smaller than New Haven. Yeah. You know, I like, you know, because New Haven has like 120,000 people or something. Fine. I think that's a doable number. I think I couldn't go less than 50,000 people. It would just be too small for me, Harry.
That's just having to worry about running into just like
see, no.
The closest thing you run into are cows and
yeah. So Ife said, "I don't know if Karen and the girl you would miss Karen and the girls. You mean like bring the whole family?"
Oh, I forgot about my because Karen ain't going. That's the hardest thing, right? Because every time I've thought of leaving Connecticut plenty of time. Problem is I'm only half the partnership. So yeah, I gotta get the other partner to buy all into my idea of leaving. And there's just no way we're leaving any of our granddaughters. So yeah, for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since my daughter just bought a house in Crystals.
Well, yeah, there's that. Really? That's a, you know.
So, yeah. So I guess, you know, I got a grandparent.
I saw a house in Milford, but they want $1 million for it, but it sits right on the water. But then I saw another one. It was like eight and some change. $899, I guess. And it was on the water, too, but it had way more presence. You know, had a big front yard and you could get down to the beach. The one that's $1 million sits hovering over the water. I was like, might be a little much.
Well, you can't do anything by the water, right? Because global warming.
What do you mean?
Aren't the waters rising, the sea rising, and
Harry, it's gonna take a while for that to happen. You know, it's not tomorrow.
It's like West Haven's always underwater whenever there's storms.
I'm 58. I'm not gonna be here another 50 years. So global warming is like
you're like, I'm good.
I'm good. Leave it to these young people to work that out.
Right? I think
that's a Bella and Daisy problem. Bella and Daisy, get on that global warming. And Lumi.
Yeah.
That is their. I actually love being in New Haven. I always have, and you know, I've lived other places, lots of places. We seem to gravitate back here, so I'm supposed to be here, I suspect. But I just want to live by the water, so I can get me some water, Harry.
I mean, I get it. I get it. When I go to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach, it is amazing to wake up, look out the window. And
there's the ocean.
The ocean, and the sun's dancing right above the ocean. And then at night, the sun's dancing on the ocean. It's amazing.
Look at you. That's very poetic, Harry. Who says you're not a poet?
I get it. But it's a... I don't know if I would want to do that all the time. It's a relief to go do it and kind of live in a picture.
Do it. I could do it, Harry. I could do it.
Then when a hurricane passes, roof, or like in West Haven, everybody's basements are flooded and all that stuff. That sucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, need some technology to sort of deal with how to build so you don't have that problem. Like, how do you...
You know what? We have strange problems that are solvable, but I don't know. There's places all around the world that they solve being right on the water. I guess New Orleans finally didn't actually, wasn't underwater this time for the hurricanes. The Army Corps of Engineers actually did a job over there.
Yeah, but there's still that fear, Harry, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still that fear. Because, you know, New Orleans is like a bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a bowl. Like, when you're there, you're walking by the Mississippi, you're like, well, that's, I feel like I'm looking up.
I know. But
it feels a little high. What is happening here? You know, you sort of, yeah, it's a little weird, but but people live there, right? So they make do. And you're right, the Army Corps of Engineers has really tackled some of that, those levees.
Yeah.
But I know there's some ain't done, Harry. It's just waiting for a flood to happen. I'm not convinced.
Well, nature is a beast. So, like, just the hurdle for a massive hurricane, especially. You know, a lot of the problem was with the hurricane staying offshore and riding up the waters and I don't know, that's the hardest part about thinking about moving, is like, what part of America do you go where nature isn't a beast?
Listen, so California's having a rain problem now, right? It got all this rain. Mudslides about to happen. I was like, oh, California, I think California has to be right up there with Jurassic Park too, in terms of not animals, Harry, but just the environment. They just have too many things. They have too many weather issues. The weather is gorgeous for the most part, but they get a storm, when they get droughts, when they get earthquakes.
They go from drought to floods.
Yeah, no in between.
It's like, and the earthquake. I don't know if I could deal with. We've had a couple of tremors here in Connecticut.
We actually have them quite often. They just never measure enough to like give us panic, right? Or pause. No. I think you have to have a 5 to really feel it.
I know. I've never felt anything. There was a tremor.
I did.
In New Haven.
Yes, I was in my car.
Yeah.
I was in my car going to pick up my kids. I was with my son and we felt it. We were in the car. I was like, everybody pulled over, Harry, because it freaked everybody out. We're like, what the hell is that?
You know, I think it's just me because I was working at the chamber and everybody said, do you feel that? It came running into my office. I'm like, oh, I didn't feel anything. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, I was in my car on my way to pick my kids up from summer. They were at First Presbyterian summer camp, and we were on our way to pick them up, and you could feel the earth. I mean, you could see it, and you could feel it. It was the weirdest thing, and you know, it was a bunch of cars behind me, and we pulled over, and everybody got out their car, and everybody was like, "Whoa."
I just thought everybody imagined it. I thought I was the sane one. Everybody else imagined it until I saw it in the news.
I don't know how you missed out on that. That was freaky. Freaky.
My world is always shaking, you know? Always tipsy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so I'm doing the medical rounds, sending me all these little things. I'm like, what time would you like me to log in? I think they said 1. But I don't want to be there all day. Because it's not my job. I just want to talk about what they want me to talk about. That's it.
Before we came on, I was watching Morning Joe.
I've not watched that in forever.
And they had an expert, a stunt for that does the movie sets and all that stuff.
A prop manager?
Yeah, and he was talking about all the steps. You know that the people who aren't the actors who are working on the movies?
Yeah.
They walked out because of unsafe working conditions right before Alec Baldwin had shot that lady. And because they had non-union workers, there was a whole mess going on there.
Well, I mean, you know, these kinds of things, Harry, will illuminate problems. And now all these other film crews and film sites, I think they're going to do their due diligence because the fact of the matter is this shouldn't have happened. We didn't learn a lesson with Brandon Lee. We didn't learn a lesson with other folks who have been killed along the same lines. And honestly, Harry, there's no reason for them to have real stuff on scene. Not with all the CG stuff they could do. You could put a gun in somebody's hand and it not be real. You know, like you could computerize, digitize one and get the same effect. Like, so what are we doing?
That's what the guy was saying, that he actually put up a prop gun and a real gun. He showed that there's no way. They keep saying that it was a prop gun that killed that lady, but there's just no way, because a real bullet doesn't go into a prop gun.
Right.
So it had to be a real gun and real ammo. So he was saying there's just no way. And also, they were saying that Alec Baldwin was practicing drawing his gun and pointing it at the camera. He said, you don't do that. That he doesn't know what was going on that set, but you don't do that. You don't point your gun at the camera. There's other ways to get that shot. There's mirror,
yes,
and all of that stuff. There's just other ways. So why he was drawing his gun and pointing it at the camera, it was just unsafe. It's not something they do anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I was listening. It just sounds so bizarre how they was cutting a lot of corners on that set. So, and why do you point the gun at anybody and pull the trigger? That's another thing. That's those are things you just, not even with a prop gun do they allow you to do that. So it's weird. It's weird. But, and then the police aren't going to have an update until Wednesday.
Yeah. I mean, it takes time to,
But with other things, they run out to tell you, you know, unsettled information. They run out to the cameras. All of a sudden now it's like they're waiting till Wednesday.
I'm fine with that, Harry, because that means somebody is taking the time to make sure they get the information right. So that's fine. I don't need people to rush to tell me anything.
It's without fine. They do it for everybody.
Well, it's just not the day. It's each, you know, people have to decide that that's what they want, you know. So I'm glad they're doing their due diligence.
But it's crazy.
So I'm like, okay. It's, you know, it's a tragedy. Like, and it always happens to the nicest of people. Oh. So.
He's just less than 30 years old, I think. Had a child and a husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, do you go on, make the film? Like, how do you go back from this? Like, you know, like, how do you...
I don't know how you do that. It would be, you would figure that the studios would just shut it down completely. I mean, Alec Baldwin is one of the producers.
But they're probably going to finish it. I mean, because that's a lot of money.
There's a lot of money that's going to be paid out to that lady's family, too.
Yeah. It's got to, I mean, yeah. Go ahead and hand them a check and let them write in the amount.
Yeah, so. they got to figure out if you can't have, like, if there's going to be guns on the set, you got to have the regular people. You can't have your union people being off the set and you bringing in, you know, it just makes no sense. You got to have.
But that's in any industry, right, Harry? It always comes down to that. Like, you know, when businesses, corporations don't want to meet the demands of the workers. So they're like, well, we'll go around that.
Yeah.
You know, and in this instance, they have a consequence now, right? Like, there's a consequence to that. Yeah. That's all. Just, oh boy, too much in the world.
Is what's, you know, happening these days is just, I feel like it's just part of what's going on today. Just part of this crazy world. It's like nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. You know, I was reading this morning of the Amazon human resources problem. So they're firing people for taking maternity. It's like, there's a worker shortage and you are firing people for doing something that they shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
call me crazy, but yeah.
It's insane. Amazon and all of these. Kellogg's. These companies are going nuts.
And you know, the good thing is that, you know, it gets out there. You know what I mean? So now they got a, like, now they got a PR problem on their hands, right? So they got to go back and like fix this. I was like, you know, do the right thing off the bat. So you don't have to go back and try to do the right thing on top of doing the wrong thing. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, especially since I just don't see, I guess Amazon is the only company that does, that has leverage over, because there's so many jobs available. You know, if you're being treated horribly at Amazon, you should go and consider moving from that job.
Although I am hearing little rumblings, Harry, about people doing, trying to do just that thing, and they really are not getting back to people. But maybe it's a shortage thing that they're not getting back to people or whatever. But
I mean, at the same time I say that, right, I'm selfish because I want my packages. So it's like one of those catch-22s. It's like Walmart, right? Want the cheap stuff, but you know it's slave labor. Right? Same thing in Amazon. I feel sorry for all of these people, but if my package isn't here in 2 days, I feel a certain way.
Yeah.
It's not that I need the package in 2 days, right? But now that they promised it in 2 days, you're like, I hope these people are working hard at getting me my package in 2 days.
I think these
are real people behind those two-day schedules, you know?
I think they're going to have to rethink that whole delivery model. Particularly when you don't have anybody to deliver.
Oh, yeah.
You know? If you don't have anybody to deliver, you can't really commit to 2 days. Really, can you? I don't know.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Well, let me tell you, Amazon still is, they got so many drivers. And basically they help you start your own kind of business. You could buy your own truck and be an Amazon driver. But they have so many drivers that they have been able to live up to their schedule stuff, right? Their delivery schedule. It's other companies who are promising delivery, and you buy the thing and almost immediately you get that email that says, oh, due to supply line problems, your package may not show up. You know, so it's the other companies that are kind of baiting and switching you, because they're relying on the supply chain, where Amazon has a lot of its stuff in their warehouses. So when Amazon promises you something from their warehouse, they get it to you. You know, it's different. I was watching this morning a couple of businesses closing because of the supply.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah.
I saw somebody on the business one of those the executives of some company. Pipeline isn't be fixed for another 12 months. And
although some of that, Harry, though,
talk about a dark winter.
I think you know, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but I just think some of this is a little over the top to get people to go and buy shop now because they want to see their bottom line pick up. Because if people feel like, oh my God, I'm not going to get my gifts in time, let me go to the stores now. Let me go online now and buy all the things. I just feel like that it just feels a little too manipulative. I do. I just think this is just a manipulative thing, you know, because they know they didn't do well last year, right? Well, they did. They did well. People did well. But they want to do even better. So how about let's manufacture a bit of a, I mean, I'm sure all these things are true, Harry, but we're going to just add to the anxiety of people and put it out there. I just feel some kind of way about it.
Well, it worked on me. I went and I bought all of my stuff. I've gotten, I think this weekend, I got like 3 different deliveries of stuff.
Because I do think it's going to come back and say, oh, and by the way, you know that shortage that wasn't really real. Oh, I don't know, Harry. It just feels a little too convenient. You know what I mean? This feels a little too convenient.
I don't know. I saw cargo ships have flipped this weekend in storms. So I'm thinking to myself, oh, I hope I didn't order something on that ship. I'm like, man.
And then I see some cargo things are floating in the water like they've fallen off the...
Yeah.
How do they fall off? Somebody has to push them off.
Wait, that's more conspiracy now.
I know. I'm in it, Harry. I'm telling you. I'm in this whole thing now. I'm for this, not for everything. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, but it's because of the storms they're saying. So
Harry, I mean, I'm just not convinced.
You're listening to Love Babs Love Talk on WNHH LP 103.5 FM, your home for community radio. Get vaccinated.
Is it 10 o'clock?
That's all I got to say about that.
Get vaccinated, people. Do yourself a favor. Save some lives.
You know, I saw this weekend in Brooklyn a big protest. I don't know if it's a... They were walking in favor of the basketball guy, Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
It was a few groups together. It was a Freedom something, Black Lives Matter and everything. And they were talking about how the vaccination mandates and stuff were disproportionately affecting color. And they stand with Kyrie. Is he
the one that don't want to get vaccinated? Like, what is?
Yeah, he's the basketball player for the Nets that is refusing.
All right.
To get vaccinated.
When fools rush in.
So what they were saying is basically, he's them, just at a, you know, higher level, at a big level.
But guess what? He's sitting on a lot of money. Y'all ain't.
Yeah.
So you can be be not at work. I mean, he could be not at work. They're gonna pay him. You.
So yeah, there were teachers, nurses. There was everything. Yeah, there were pastors.
Where was this?
In Brooklyn. I feel for all of those I've lost.
Oh yeah, they had to lock down the Barclays Center because it got ugly.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be out there fighting with these unvaccinated people. This is how the zombie apocalypse is going to take hold, Harry. We are seeing the makings of that.
You know, that cargo ship had 4,200 cars aboard. Wow, that's a lot of shit. Yo, oh my God. Imagine all that merchandise on that. 4,200 of those cargo containers underwater. Oh my God. I wonder how many millions that is. But anyway.
Well, I mean, they've got some there in the Boston Globe. They're talking about there's a shipping in the global shipping crisis. The Port of Boston deliveries are getting passed over. I think there's some untruths in a lot of this. I think there's some lying going on with these things. I do believe, Harry, that it is some kind of way to manufacture people spending their money now to shore up these retail spaces, shore up retail. This seems too ready-made for my taste.
But the thing is, how about all the businesses going out of business because of those? So you're saying they're intentionally keeping the merchandise out, away from people in order to create demand?
Yes, I'm saying that. It's a conspiracy theory. I'm just saying. I think there's some truth to it. I don't say it's 100% true, but Amazon ain't got no problems. Walmart ain't got no problems. Look at the ones who don't have problems. Is Walmart saying we might not have stuff? Is Amazon saying they might not have stuff?
See, but these businesses, they don't do a 2-week supply. You know, they have warehouses where they maintain items for you know, they don't have a 2-week.
So what supply. Happens? So here's the thing. So what happens? So who benefits? Who benefits from this cargo shortage?
Oh, of course, the big chain.
Okay.
People, but
saying. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but I'm a jump on the conspiracy bandwagon for this. Because it just seems a little too tightly out there.
Yeah, then you have Home Depot who's saying, okay, we'll just get our own cargo ships.
Home Depot, we'll get our own truckers. Or Walmart. They chartered their own stuff because they can afford to do it.
Yeah, they all could afford to do it. So, yeah, it's the small guy who's getting crushed.
Very, very interesting.
And your boy Elon Musk is going to be the first trillionaire. They're predicting he will be the first trillionaire. That's insane.
Yeah.
But we
allow it to happen.
How do you stop it from happening?
I don't know if stop is the...
You know, because he's making a lot of his money from the government because he's now the key supplier to space. Right?
Somebody's got to do it.
It's either pay the Russians $40 million per astronaut just to get on a seat on their shuttle. Which, by the way, how in the world do the Russians, how are they still using the same old shuttles, but we put ours out of commission?
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, we couldn't continue to use ours. We couldn't refurbish it. You know,
I think Harry, you have to go. Do we really want to have that model?
Well, I
don't know.
We're taking the shot by putting them on Russian old shuttles. So if our astronauts die on Russian shuttles, we're okay with it? I mean, we're no longer doing it because of Elon Musk, right? So now Elon Musk is going to be a trillionaire soon.
That's a little, space travel brought to you by... It's a little disconcerting to me, but maybe that's where the technology takes us. That's maybe because we are not interested in investing in a space program fully, that this is the way to do it, right? But then it's not ours, it's theirs. But the best and the brightest of our brain trust is called to work on that stuff, right? He pays them to come work on this stuff. So, NASA can't pay what Elon Musk could pay.
I mean, Elon Musk is teaching everybody how to do it, right? So every time the U.S. would send somebody up, they basically would send the shuttle up attached to these huge rockets and the rocket boosters, and everything but the shuttle would just fall into the sea and we would never see it again. So you're dropping hundreds of millions of dollars into the sea every time you went up. Yeah. Elon Musk actually has his rocket boosters fall off of the shuttle and fly back and dock itself so he could reuse the rocket boosters. He doesn't waste them.
That's what money will do. That's my point, Harry. That is my point.
He doesn't waste, right? He's not wasting money.
He can afford to do it. Our program can't afford to do that. So we got to go. We're not making the investments the way that these guys are making the investments. That's the point and the problem. If we start making investments in our space program the way that these little billionaire trillionaires can, then we'd have a world class, but then that means something else has to get cut on the government side because it's a balanced thing. So you can't take all the money and put it in the space program and leave no money for, bridges and tunnels and roads. Oh my.
The problem is that there's so much government waste. Like, Elon Musk isn't going to waste a penny.
Well, he probably is wasting money, Harry, but money to waste.
No, but you see, he's going to recycle everything. He's going to make the rocket boosters come back.
I think he wasted a hell of a lot of money to get to this point. Got it to waste. That's the thing. We don't got it to waste like that. We can't just be sending up rockets and be like, I think this might work. We got to be damn pretty much sure that we could do this thing because it's expensive.
And also it's the bureaucracy of it all, right? So you have so many moving parts in the government that there's nobody focusing on one thing. So there's a lot of government waste.
But that's there's a lot of government waste, but I'm sure there's a lot of Elon Musk waste that he's not talking about, how much money he had to, piss out the window to scrap this, that, and the other thing. Listen, do I want these cats doing this? A part of me says yes, because they can put their whole time and attention and money behind it. And nobody asks them questions. They don't got to deal with the bureaucracy, regulation. They can do whatever they want to do, right? Let's just do it. But the other part of that is when it's in the hands of these people who are really doing it for sport and not so much for the furthering of technology pursuit or any of that. It's a sport. Then it becomes problematic. And I'm sure if I had opportunity to sit and chat with him, he'd tell me, it's not for sport. I am trying to advance technology. And I'm trying to do it faster than we could do it in the government and blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it's just like horse racing. It's just sport. They don't give a damn about the horse. This is my new playground. Space is my new playground. And I'm gonna launch up all the toys I can, because there's only a few people in the world that could do it. As a matter of fact, there's only two other people in the world that could do it. The Virgin, the Branson guy, and the Bezos guy. So that's their little club that nobody else could get in. Because ain't nobody else got no rocket ship money. I got rocket ship money. You know what rocket ship money does? It gets me to space. What y'all got? Y'all messing around still trying to buy cars. Listen, we buying rocket ships and we taking joy rides and our friends up to space. This is their new playground. They don't give a damn about technology. What they're going to do is, oh, we got the best and the brightest technology. We're going to use it, but we're going to use it for our fun. They're not interested in world gain and in like bringing information to the world. They're just trying to be men, white men, doing white men stuff, looking for some frontier to conquer. Faces that next frontier. Look at them. It's the three boys club. Who else can get in that club? Nobody. Oprah ain't sending up no rocket ship. Like, ooh, no. I might be a billionaire, but that take up all my money. Donald Trump ain't talking about no daggone. He ain't in the millionaires club, really. He's in millionaire. These cats, they got a new playground. What? Look, they don't take their friends up there. Look, we're going to take our friends up. Oh, we'll make it legit. We'll take some real astronauts. But for the most part, it's our friends. We'll make it look good so we can get some press. Now, we'll take an astronaut. We'll take this. We'll do that. I'm just saying, Harry, this gives me pause. This gives me pause, that's all.
Well, it's strange, right? Because it was our government, NASA, in the 60s, who basically, because of their space program, basically forces our technology forward and for people to think bigger than you know, they were thinking in the 50s and stuff. So it's strange that they stopped like in 1973 and decided, okay, let's just freeze the program here. I think it does take private industry to look beyond what the government looks
like. Well, like I said, Harry, they're not really interested in technology for the world. They playing. They are playing. This is their new playground. They're not interested in, I mean, sure, if there's some technology they could share, all right, we'll throw the government a bone, blah, blah, blah. But really, this is just us playing in space. Yeah, we'll take some plants up. We'll take a couple of experiments. You may even take some real astronauts up. But for the most part, we're playing. This is us playing. This is us having a playground that nobody else can play in. Nobody. Nobody. Damn. So while, I mean, I know you, while on some hand it might be a good thing, but for the most part, I'm not feeling it.
Well, you should feel it, but even you are that this earth, something's happening on this earth.
But listen, Harry, if they get the technology to move people, you think we're gonna be in that crew? Oh. Who gonna be in that crew? The same people they party with at the Hamptons. Ain't gonna be us, Harry. We got to sneak on. And we got to put on uniforms and sneak on carrying trays.
But what's that movie of that they had to sneak? I would figure they would just take all the young brilliant minds with.
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. But you got to have some, you can't just take young, brilliant minds. You got to take some old dogs too. Because old dogs are the keeper of the memories, and they can tell you, don't do that. We did that back in 63. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I can tell you, we did this back in 58. This is what we, you need some of that. You need some older people. And you know, Harry, you know, Bezos, Elon, Gates, these cats are not young cats, Harry. They're not young. And listen, they can get all the young women they want. That doesn't make them young. They still aging at a rapid pace. Oh, on one hand, Harry, yes, there's going to be some sharing of real information, real technology, because they are the leaders of it right now. You know, they are the captains of industry. You know, when the Rockefellers and the DuPonts and all those cats back in the day, those land barons and all that, you know, they were at the height of their game too. And their playground was ships and travel and you know, all the things. But this is a different group of playboys. This is a different group of playboys. You know, where the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Vanderbilts, and I mean, they had a real commitment to our aesthetic, an arts aesthetic, a culture aesthetic. You know, who could build the biggest library? Who could build the biggest museum? That was the playground, so that other people can enjoy it, not just them. These cats, Harry, we are not going to be on that plane going to take the trips to space. There's no way. When the tickets start at what, $40,000? No, what is it? $1 million? It started $40 million or something. Tickets start like that. At best, Harry, I could give somebody a note to take up in space for me. Can you take my note?
Your message in a bottle, right?
My message in a bottle. Can you take my message in a bottle up? Don't fling it in space, because I don't want to add to the pollution.
That's right. That thing picks up speed. It might come back as a freaking...
as a projectile, kill people. Like, no, I don't want that. I don't want that. So anyway, I'm just saying. Oh, there's some good deals out there, Harry. I follow Sherman's Travel. They always put up good deals. You go to Hawaii, Harry, 4 nights at the Hilton.
Yeah, but three nights would be spent in the airport.
I know.
Don't do it.
You get one night in your room. You got to pack up and do it all over again.
Yep, that's it.
You could go to Colombia, Harry. 3 nights in Cartagena.
You know, it's only been in the last few years that I've heard the term bomb cyclone as a weather thing.
They were saying, somebody else said that too.
And it's just happening like, that's what happens
a lot. It's like
the coast of California, bomb cyclone.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell? Is this a new weather threat? Or is it just something that they named differently? It's a new name for it.
No, it's a new weather threat. I mean, it was always a weather threat, Harry. It's just that you never saw it rare. But now you're starting to see them.
It would be... in the sea, right? It would be something that happened more out to sea.
Yes.
And now it's actually happening close to land.
Yes. Yes.
It's insane.
It is insane. That's what I mean. Yeah. We need real people getting behind this global business. Not just with leaf blowers. You can't put this on the shoulders of leaf blowers. Everybody wants to blame leaf blowers. It's like it's not. It's these people building these new high-rise apartments and buildings and all these things. That's the culprit, not the little lowly leaf blowers. Stay in Harry. I just hate that they're picking on these leaf blowers. And listen, I don't like leaf blowers either, Harry. It's loud.
Well, I was thinking of that this weekend because my son-in-law piled all the leaves with his leaf blower. And I was like, well, there he goes killing the environment again.
I mean, that's a.
No, you're right. I have no idea why these bomb cyclones are now coming close to shore.
You do know why. Climate change.
But it still was happening out there. So,
climate change, because we are not being good stewards of the earth. We're not being good stewards of the earth. Listen, we're going to be on Nor'easter watch tomorrow, right, on the East Coast because of the weather. I was like, oh Lord.
Yeah. I hope my tires are good.
Oh, here we go with these tires.
I still haven't bought them.
I don't think you're going to buy them, Harry. Because
I don't think so.
I think you say it to kind of remind yourself, but then you're like, eh.
I don't think so. I have to find my warranty for my car because my check engine light is on. I want to make sure I don't go and pay for something that's covered.
Yeah.
I don't trust them. Yeah, so then I'm going
to the weather is supposed to be really janky, like going to be problematic moving across the country. So I don't know. I'm going into my office today so I could get so much more done in case tomorrow is really problematic. So I don't want to be caught out there either. Or if I could get out there early enough. So I'll pay attention to the weather. If I get out there early enough and then be like, hey, this is the issue. Okay. Get with it.
Over here reading that in Sudan, got a military coup.
Yes. Yes.
Like I said, it makes sense. This world, all of it makes sense.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that too. I was like, and
in a weird, some weird news, weird for me. Right? Colombia announces capture of leader of major drug cartel.
Oh, I saw that too, Harry.
It's like,
I don't, what does that even mean in Colombia, though?
I know, that's what I'm saying. So it's like,
is this like a global photo op, and then he's gonna escape or disappear or.
Or one of the other families, one of the other cartels now runs the police department arresting the other cartel.
Which is unlikely, but I just think it's a global photo op. Look what we're doing. And then he'll be done, broke out of jail some kind of way, Harry. Oh, he got away. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I'm not trusting that either. I think you're right. It's going to be one or two scenarios. It's a global photo op or one of the other cartels. Like, yeah, go pick them up.
You sound as pessimistic as me, Beth.
I know, Harry. I know. No, it's terrible. It is terrible. Terrible.
And in Afghan news, U.S. struggles still.
Oh, there's Afghan is still in the news?
Oh, yeah. We still have, you know, they say 100 people we left behind. Then it goes to 200, then 100. We still have a lot of people over there. and we only got 3% of the special visas of the people we helped. I mean, that helped us while we were over there. We only got 3% of them out. So we have a lot of people still over there, and they're struggling to get them out right now. It's really contractors, private contractors who are out there trying to help them, for NGOs who are paying them. So, and getting bad. It was bad already. Yeah, so world news sucks right now.
I think it always kind of sucked, Harry, but...
Yeah, but it's really sucks. And oh, then you have a Delta variant. A new Delta variant.
But I feel like it's not going to really be... But you know what?
We don't... See. Oh, because the vaccine that we're all taking wasn't based on the Delta variant, based on the original.
Yes.
So I wonder if they're working on different vaccine based on. You would.
I'm sure there's some people holed up in a lab, Harry, working all manner of things to sort of. I have no doubt.
Because they're all still pushing their original vaccine. Now they're trying to get the original vaccine. Younger population.
Yeah, you got it. I mean,
I just would hope that they would have been working on the...
Harry, it's just like the flu vaccine. There's so many different flu vaccines. And every year they come out with a new batch of flu vaccines. Not to combat the flu that's in front of you. It combats the flu from last year or 2 years ago to keep that suppressed while somebody else is working on the vaccine for this flu for next year. That's why you have so many different, you know.
Well, yeah, I get it.
It's the same concept. I mean, it's really the same concept.
But you know? I'm just saying this Delta variant has been a smart variant. Been... jumping over all the hurdles, staying around. So we just.
I'm sure people are working on that. But I think this vaccine is like any vaccine. It's not a cure, but it will keep you from, you know, dying. we don't have a cure, but we can keep you out of the hospital, you know. That's just what it is, right? So, I mean, I think it's going to get worse again because people are just out there protesting all the things. The only tools that we have against us, people are protesting. The only tools that we have to fight this, people are protesting. Mask, vaccine. The people don't like either one of those choices. I don't want to do either. So, this is gonna keep moving around because people don't want to shut it down. And then what happens is when you don't shut it down, you know, all the folks that are vaccinated becomes resistant. It becomes resistant to the vaccine, to the vaccinated folks, right? I mean, that's just how it works. Look, we've got sexually transmitted diseases now that don't respond. Your basic, what used to kill it, what used to get rid of it, what used to cure it, no longer does it. Now you gotta create super ways in which to fight back sexually transmitted diseases because your basic penicillin doesn't work. It has learned how to move around it. And grow in spite of penicillin. Now,
it's because we've overprescribed penicillin, antibiotics.
We overprescribe antibiotics for everything.
Yeah, for everything. So
parents now, come into pediatrician offices. My kid is sick. I want antibiotics. They were like, it's viral. It's not going to work on that. I don't give a damn. Give it to me. I don't want to go home and do chicken soup and some Tylenol. I want the good stuff.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not going to help. It's just going to make your kid system resistant to treatment. It's not gonna stop the virus. But see, that's what I mean, Harry. It's all that kind of education and re-education you have to do. It's challenging.
It's like a few years ago, I remember reading articles about the overuse of antibacterial
soap. It's like telling people.
And the thing, the liquid we use, clean our hands. So they were saying, we're overusing it, and we're not gonna be able to fight off regular germs. And then all of a sudden COVID came and everybody started buying it again. So it's like, wait a minute, it was, you know, I don't know, it's a mixed message. So it's,
yeah, because once they were telling you, oh, and then it was like, okay, well, if you got an antibody, you got to bring it back. You got to use it now.
Yeah. So now should they say stop?
Stop you? I don't know. Listen, I just want people to wash their hands, Harry. Yeah, whatever you got at your house, just make sure you wash your hands.
Basic soap and water works.
Just wash your hands.
Gotta actually wash your
hands. Wash your hands.
What else?
And you don't say anything.
What can I say? I mean, you don't know that you have to spend more than a millisecond washing your hands.
Ooh.
Everybody knows that. But what is it? They say 30 seconds, right?
You got as long as it takes you to sing the happy birthday song.
Because I take forever washing.
Well, I don't take forever, but I do like to wash like I'm going into surgery.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm saying. So by the time I'm finished, the whole sink is wet. Right? So now I have to grab extra towels to dry around everything. Then by the time I do that, I need to wash my hands again. Yeah, that's an eye roll.
And then, you know, they're trying to move people back towards having paper towels and not those blowers, because those blowers blow germs.
The blowers never made sense. I always
knew. Either, Harry. I never liked those things.
Yeah. And there should never be doors and bathrooms that open inward. They should all open outward. I don't want to have to touch anything to pull. You know, I have waited for somebody to come into the bathroom so I don't have to touch it. When, like, if I'm at some place that I have to use the bathroom and the door handle is the most toxic thing you've ever seen in your life, I won't touch it. And if there's no paper, there's only blowers.
You know what I do, Harry? I just roll toilet paper. Like, yeah. I was like, I check to see what, if they have paper towels. They don't. When I'm done in the bathroom, I just roll tissue and then I go wash my hands and then I just dry my hands with tissue. Even though the tissue gets all torn up in your wet hands, yeah. I don't care. I just.
Yep, because it's that cheap.
Yeah, well, and it's easily, like, as soon as it's wet, it just disintegrates. Yeah.
That's great. And let me tell you, I use so much paper. I kill trees, you know. Well, just from using the bathroom, it's like three trees. Because I use so much paper towels in the bathroom. It's like, I got to use it for the handle. I got to use it, I think, after I wash my hands. I got to use it. By the time this, like, you hope that I don't use the bathroom more than twice a day, because I use up all the paper.
So this is what I was talking about, Harry. Jacob Sefolia, the United Airlines exec who went missing in 2010, is found dead. So he was in the, I don't understand these people that go hiking in the woods and they don't tell people, they don't say nothing. They just say, oh, this is what I do. They couldn't find it by his cell phone, nothing. These people that go off the grid get on my nerves. Like, but they found him. They found he was hanging by a belt from an uprooted tree. That's terrible. His wallet, his driver's license, backpack was all with him. He just probably got caught up and couldn't unhit, you know, like there was no signs of foul play, you know. Vice President of Worldwide Sales for Chicago-based United. Went missing in August 2020. Vehicle was found parked at the Forest Preserve, but he wasn't found. His human remains were located in a thick covered brush. So he 10 feet away and not see it. Ooh, Harry. Stop. I want to tell people, you do these kinds of things. Tell people where you're going. I saw a thing that says set your message on your cell phone so when people call you, say, listen, hi, you reach Babs. I'm in the woods hiking at such and such park. If you don't hear from me in 24 hours, come look for me. Some old mess or 8 hours. No, don't wait 24 hours. An hour. Hey, if you don't hear back from me, if I'm not back in an hour.
Don't take that long to look for me.
Don't wait 24 hours. Listen, Harry, if you don't hear from me in an hour, somebody better send a whole search party because I'm sitting somewhere crying like, oh, I'm in the woods.
That's right, because especially if you go into the woods, right? 24 hours, I could be bear food.
I know. Or cat food, or big cat food.
That's right.
I mean? Like, there's too many things. I could fall, break my neck. I could fall, break my leg. I can't get up. The bears come. I mean, the wild boars. Oh, Harry, it's too much. You can't fight from the ground.
I know. It's crazy. You know, whenever I always send Karen, I always share. I mean, I know where I'm going. You know, even if I'm going to work or something, I always put my map. And I always put work. I always put, you know. Even if I don't take the route it gives me, it's always adjusting to my stuff. But I share my route with Karen all the time. So if all of a sudden, you know, I stop somewhere and I don't move again, she knows where to look for me.
That's right. I feel you, Harry. As I'm getting older, I was like, oh, Lord, I don't. Listen.
As a matter of fact, the other day she goes, he's driving up the street where we live, and she texts me, I'm almost home. When are you getting home? I'm like, I'm home already. Hey, but you didn't share your ride with me. I didn't know you were home. I'm like, sorry. She said, you know, he said, it's just that you always do it. So it's like, I'm waiting to see where you're at. So, but yeah, so I always share my ride. No matter where I go, I always hit where I'm going. Like to my daughter's house, I know where I'm going. I know what my son says, I know. But I always put it in just to leave a trail.
Yeah.
Leave those breadcrumbs. I don't want to be hard to find.
Well, you know, we do that with my, you know, with my girlfriends and I. We do that when we travel outside of the city, like when we're traveling, you know, just because we just need that. Just do it because I just don't want anybody not knowing where I'm at in case something goes awry. That's really.
Yeah, and if you share your.
He's
your...
hanging on up. He's hanging somewhere with his belt, Harry, for a year.
That's the thing, that if you share your location, it sends GPS.
You know, so but it, these people that want to run off, Harry, and don't tell people where they're running off to.
Yeah.
You know, because I'll be like, I had no idea he went to the woods to hike. You know, and I might know him to be a hiker, but like, well, he didn't say anything. Everybody's like, oh, I need my, whatever. I'm an adult. I can do whatever I want. Yeah, you can. And you also find yourself hanging on a tree by a belt a year later.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, where my daughter lives, she lives right on the woods, Bristol. And they've had a couple of warnings that there's been a lot of bobcats walking around, so keep your pets inside and all this. I'm like, you know, and some people claim to have seen mountain lions.
But we have them, don't we?
No, only they migrate sometimes, but they're not normal to Connecticut. So that's some scary. Well, we have bobcats, and I think they had been denying bobcats. You never know, Babs, because you know people have stuff as pets, and
then you know, Harry, you are so right, because people want to have these exotic ass things in their house. Then when they get too big to be dealt with, I'm going to turn it loose in the wild. Like, they're not native here. That's they're going to create havoc. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I remember when I was training to be a school bus driver years ago, a huge cat walking in front of the bus during my training. And I'm like, a cat? But that's huge. It was a huge cat. And the lady next to me, who was training me, said, yeah, that's a bobcat. You could tell by its ears and all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, you know exactly how to... Well, she's like, yeah, they're always in my yard. Man, I can't live like that.
That couldn't get in my house fast enough.
Yeah.
Harry, did you see that ridiculous snake that they had the crane lift? Did you see that? I don't know if that was real, but it was on some news outlet. I saw it and I was like, is that real? And I kept seeing it. It's in those countries where they always have them giant snakes. I saw it and I was like, that is too much. See if I can find it real quick.
If you need a crane to lift the snake, that's just
Harry, let me tell you something.
Too much.
Tell you something. Yeah, that's, they found, I don't know if these sites are credible or if this is real or.
That's Jurassic Park.
Well, the New York Post, I'll trust the New York Post.
And them.
World's biggest snake was lifted by crane in the Caribbean forest. Wait, what Caribbean forest? What island are they on? So I know not to be in the forest.
You know, I was watching something. I think it was on was it Discovery or something like that.
And it was in Dominica. Oh, my God.
Oh, Santo Domingo.
No, in Dominica, which is where I'm going in February. Remind me not to be in the woods. I'm not doing it. That snake was about 10 feet long. Harry, there is no way. There is no way. There is no way I could.
Well, just don't go to the rainforest. Man.
Listen, you don't got to worry about it. Harry, you know what I would do, Harry? I would go right to the, you know how they have the opening of the rainforest? You know, like they tell you, all, you know, the little, I'll be right there, take my picture. I'll step over and then I'm going to step right the hell back. That's not my jam, Harry. Woods is not my jam like that. I don't mind it. I don't mind nature. That is not my jam.
Well, I mean, it's no worse than visiting Florida, right?
Yeah, I don't do that.
because Florida, you could just be walking on the grass and pythons come out. It's like, I just want, you know, Florida for me is stay in Disney. I ain't going nowhere else. That's crazy.
Saw this and I was like, man, they was working. The workers found it and they were like, I was like, I don't even know how you deal with that. What do you do with that?
Even Disney, you remember that kid that got
snatched up by the
alligator on a pond
Yes. And they tell you, there's signs. Don't sit near the water. Don't sit on the edge. Don't. They tell you. Because those things can jump up and snap, especially little kids.
Yeah, but how about not have an alligator?
Well, what are you going to do, Harry? They know what they... Listen, that's their natural habitat. You building a park around their natural habitat. So you can't get rid of them. I'd rather have them in a pond and tell people stay away from the pond than to have them roaming the grounds.
Oh, I would say eliminate all of them.
Well, there'll be people at your door.
I know, but I mean, the ones I would they say never the
seem,
ones
they never seem the to pond, be extinct.
The ones in the pond in Disney should be shoes and purses.
Harry, that ain't gonna protest you because I'm not saying that.
Let everything else outside the park go into their, you know, natural habitats. But I don't want to worry about my kid playing in Disney.
Oh, it has happened. It's terrible too. And they tend to not really want to snap at humans and children. Like they're not known to do that. But every so often it happens. You know. So I'm always amazed that they're always the ones that are not extinct. Yeah, some animals have to get on the extinct list. Like, oh, we have to save the Puiji birds or the this, that, and the other thing. You never hear crocodiles or alligators on the endangered species list.
Oh.
Why is that?
I was watching a video of alligators and crocodiles eating sharks.
Oof.
So even the sharks are scared of them. The sharks be like, what the hell are they doing in the same water I am?
I was like, sharks, we ask the same questions on land.
They drag the shark to land and they're eating it there.
Yeah, like, yeah, because the shark is like, I can't do nothing on dry land. Ugh, I don't want to end on that, Harry. That is creepy all the way out.
Dinosaurs.
Yes, dinosaurs among us.
That's right.
What they are. I kid you not. Them and them damn Komodo dragons.
Oh, no. And then I saw something. I don't know if it's in Colombia, actually, that they have these huge rats. I mean, humans, bigger than humans. Rats.
Are they rats or are they boars?
No, they're rats. They're the world's largest rats.
I'm not going to look that up because I don't want to see it.
It's the scariest thing. I would leave the country just knowing that they exist.
I'm with you, Harry. You know what, Harry? We'll just stay in Connecticut.
I'm terrified of rodents. That's the one thing on, like, you remember that show Fear Factor?
Yeah.
I would always say, oh, I could do that. And then when they would lay them in a tank with rats, I would die.
Oh, yeah, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do any of that stuff, Harry.
I can't do that.
I can't eat questionable food. I can't be laying with bugs on me. And even though they put plugs in your nose and your ears, there's other places. No, I can't. I couldn't do it. Or the worms. Ugh. I don't care if they are scientifically cleaned worms and they're grown. I don't care. Can't do it. And all those people that did that, I was like, yeah, for money. There's a lot of things I'd do for money, but I ain't one of them. Sorry. All right. Gotta go. I'm back tomorrow with the good Dr. Brown talking about critical race theory, or as we call it, American history.
Bye.